Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Hello, chickens. This is the fabulous Adam Richard, and I have a theory. Hey, chickens. We're watching Remembrance of the Daleks with Sylvester McCoy and Sophie Aldred as Ace. Sylvester McCoy plays the Doctor, obviously. They don't both play Ace. That would be confusing. Although, given some of the shows that I've been watching lately, maybe not. I don't know if you've watched Mrs. Davis. It is confusing and weird. I've been talking to Justin Hamilton about it on his Big Squid podcast, which you can go and grab from wherever you get your podcasts from. Acast and the like, you know, your Apples, your Googles, wherever you get your podcasts. But yeah, Big Squid on Fridays, Justin and I occasionally will sit down and talk about things in the pop culture universe. I do some swears in it, though. Sometimes I get very angry about things. So yeah, it may be a bit more grown up than you used to. as are most of my podcasts other than this one. This is my only family-friendly podcast. And even then, I tend to say things that... they sound more revolting than they are. That's just my accent. anyway, Remembrance of the Daleks. I am off the hook this week. I don't know why. As Ace and Mike are wandering past the TARDIS, Rachel calls out to Mike and he goes running and Ace follows. And apparently the group captain is under attack. So they all get in the van. Mike drives. The Doctor and Ace get in the back and they zip off. Next thing we see is a blanket being put over the face of a dead soldier. Ooh, already there's a death. Like, we're barely 5 minutes into the episode. I know it's taken me nearly 25 minutes to talk about it, but there's been a lot to talk about. That's, you know, it's a lot of subtext, a lot of extraneous metaverse weirdness going on in this episode. It's reminding me of too many things. It's the problem. The group captain, who this obviously is, looks up with concern. It's Simon Williams, who at the time everyone would have known probably from Upstairs, Downstairs. He was the son, who was a bit of a cad. he'd also been in a great show called Agony with Maureen Lipman, which I absolutely adored. I remember introducing the guys on the Flight Through Entirety podcast to Agony. I don't think they'd really... heard of it before. It used to be on like late at night. I used to watch it on black and white TV when I was a kid, and because there were gay characters in it, and they, you know, there wasn't much in the way of representation of gay people when I was a kid, so I was really excited by it. Anyway, Simon Williams was in that, who plays the group captain in this. Speaking of Flight Through Entirety, I was on an episode recently where we watched Into the Dalek. So, if you want to go and grab that from where you get your podcasts, Flight Through Entirety is fun. They're basically doing every single Doctor Who episode in order, and they're up to season 8 of the new series. They did all of the old ones in order, unlike me, because I'm all higgledy-piggledy. Also, like, if I did them in order, like, we would probably still be in season 1 of William Hartnell, and I would have gone off on 472 tangents about what was happening in the 60s at the time. That I don't remember because I wasn't born yet. So, the Mike, Rachel, the Doctor and Ace arrive in the van to where, I guess, the group captain is. And it's the junkyard in Todders Lane with the big I Am Foreman painted on the gate. So, they had to drive there in a van. Ian and Barbara had to drive there in an unearthly child. How come in 2013 did a policeman just have to walk down the lane to get from the junkyard to Coal Hill School? Like, I don't understand this. Unless there's like a pedestrian way you can get through, and to drive there is really difficult. Like, so, you know, some places like you can walk through, then it's blocked off to traffic. But because there's like 14 one-way streets, it takes ages for you to drive there. But then it makes me wonder, why did they all drive there when if it's just down the end of the lane and you could just walk through? Like, surely that's an easier way to go. Did they need to take the TV detector van with them? I'm just really confused about the maps. I'm confused about what's going on. And unless by 2013, because this is happening in 1963, which is the same time when Barbara and Ian would have driven from the school to the junkyard. So maybe in 2013, when Clara works at Coal Hill School, they've relocated the school to a different premises. Even though it looks like a very old building, doesn't mean that that's not, doesn't mean it's the same old building. Maybe they've moved the school to a different building down the road that used to have a different purpose and is right next to that junkyard. Okay, that's my theory. There we go. Occasionally I have an actual theory in this show. Despite the title of being called Adam Richard Has a Theory, very rarely do I have a theory. Sometimes I just rabbit on about who knows what. But that's a theory. I'm having a theory, everyone. I feel like there should be like an alert sound. Boop, boop, I'm having a theory. And then Rove comes over, sprays me with water. So that's what happens. So that's my theory. By 2013, they had to relocate the school, probably because of asbestos. Like, seriously, so many things had asbestos in them. When I worked at the ABC, like, there were whole rooms, like, with signs on the door that said, don't go in, asbestos. They've torn that building down now, I think, the one on Gordon Street where they used to film Countdown and stuff, where we did the first two seasons of Hard Quiz, and where we did our Spicks and Specs the year I was allowed to do it. But, yeah. Anyway, that's my theory. So there's a crowd at the junkyard gates, and Mike gets waved through because obviously he's with the military. And when they get through the gates, they all jump out and the doctor's like, what's going on? And Mike takes Ace to set up a position by Red Six, whatever that means. So the doctor goes over and looks at the dead soldier and says, oh, he's died from massive internal displacement as a result of a projected energy weapon. And Rachel's what? A death ray? Oh, my God, heaven, I love a death ray. Group Captain Gilmore is aghast. And Mike calls out to Alison Williams, who has a headset on, and she's shocked to find out that Matthews is dead. And he asked about Blue One, who are responding, and they'll be there in a minute. I'm guessing these are just call signs for different, you know, things. Maybe Alison is Red Six or whatever she's called. So Rachel covers the dead man's face back with the blanket, and the doctor's like, whatever fired that weapon is trapped over in that shed. And she's like, how do you know that? And like, he's like, well, I've been here before. Oh, my God, he has been there before. It's his old junkyard where his TARDIS used to live. Now there's something in the shed. So Gilmore gives orders after a whole truckload of soldiers turn up that all file out. It's like, at ease. And he's like, there's an armed hostile in the shed. Clear the civilians. And then he tells Mike to get Matthews out of there. So a couple of soldiers come over to pick up the poor dead man. And the doctor is telling Gilmore, you don't know what you're dealing with. This is a lot. And then we see something from an alien point of view. Like, it's green. The screen goes all green. There's a black crosshair, squiggly computer writing. And as the soldier goes to pick up Matthews, the dead soldier on the ground, we hear the pshoo, and there's a death ray. It makes him go all negative and he crashes into a wall of corrugated iron. Oh, my God. And then the soldiers start shooting at the shed, at which point Rachel realizes that the death ray is beyond their current technology. All right, we will continue Remembrance of the Daleks. We're still only in episode one. We'll continue that in the next episode.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.